From evolving the way we work, to bringing entertainment IP to VR, to creating new ways for people to experience a brand, hear why the metaverse opportunity starts now in this popular session from Advertising Week New York 2022.
Welcome to the Great Minds stage at Advertising Week. I'm Ruth Mortimer. I'm Global President here at Advertising Week, and I'm delighted to have Ash Javeri with me. He's the VP of Reality Labs at Meta. Now, we gave you a little taste in that video you just saw of what you can do with the new headset you guys have done. I just got to try it out backstage, but I believe we agreed that I wouldn't try it on stage in case I fell off. Very clumsy person. So Ash, before we dive in, I like to start with something a little more fun just to break the ice. Yeah. Tell me a little bit. You've been working on VR for a few years now. What's your favorite thing to do when you put on a headset like the guys in these videos?
Yeah, you know, it's it varies over time. I'll say right now we're playing a lot of Status Quo, or Status Pro built a football game just in time for the NFL, American football. Just in time for the season, and so we've been playing a lot of that, game. Beat Saber is a family favorite that we tend to play on virtual game night, at home. And then at work we're actually using the headset quite a bit for internal meetings. We'll talk more about it, but sort of in this hybrid world, how do we try to feel more connected as a company when we're all strewn geographically? And so using workrooms and sort of having these virtual meetings has been like a big, probably once or twice a week we do that. So.
Now, I'd love to know from the audience a little bit about how much you guys know about this space. So could you put your hands up if ever you've tried maybe first the Oculus headset, one or two? Oh my God, these guys are pros.
Yeah.
Have any of you tried the new Meta Pro headset?
Doubt it.
Oh, just one guy out there.
That's our plant, though.
Oh, man.
That's our plant.
So people in the room, they've tried it out. They understand what we're talking about, which is pretty good because you're the guy plotting the future of what we're going to do in there. So you've been at Meta about 10 years now. Can you tell us a little bit about your time there, how you got started, the Oculus acquisition?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a decade next month. Time flies. This was about 8 years ago or so, 8 or 9 years ago. We were looking at what the future of connection can look like. Really, at our core, it's about connecting people, right? Whatever we do through our platforms, whether it's our messaging services or our social platforms, it's really about bringing people together and connecting them.
Yep.
And as we sort of think about what types of technologies bring people together, well, the most important thing is actually being together, feeling present. If you can't do that, what's the next best thing? And the phone is fine, but it's really a 2D box, right?
Yep.
So as we thought about where we want to take the future of the company and really the future of human connection, VR and AR were pretty top of mind. I mean, this is about a decade ago. And so I remember still flying down with Mark about 8 years ago to visit this little company called Oculus in Southern California. We walked into this room and had all these QR codes everywhere. It's kind of like if you've ever watched like TV shows where the FBI is trying to track a serial killer, and like the entire room is filled with pictures and lines and all that. It was like literally a room like that with QR codes. And they put this like kind of janky big headset on us. It was a development kit at the time, and instantly you were transformed. You forgot that you were in the room. You forgot you were wearing this thing. You suddenly felt like you were being chased by a dinosaur or on the ledge of a building, and it induced significant vertigo for me personally. That's when I was hooked. I'm like, this is going to change everything. When you can feel that present, that grounded, that connected in a different space in a different time, that is the change that we saw. And sort of fast forward 8 years, and we've gone from like this room of QR codes to what we'll talk about in a little while, which is basically this lightweight device that you put on your head that millions and millions of people are using out there and finding value in. So it's been a fantastic journey, and you know, we've built an ecosystem along the way, which I think we'll touch on as well. But it's been really fun. It's been really fun, and it's so early.
So one of the things that I always wonder is, obviously these guys, they know about VR, but what about the metaverse? Sometimes I think that every person you talk to has a different definition of what it is.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, what's the metaverse for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it is certainly a buzzword, and I think it's probably something that we helped get buzzy like we did VR a few years ago. Look, I think about it really, again, as a sort of, what is the evolution of what we're doing today online?
Yep.
Right? How do I think about things in a more embodied, more present way? Right? Today, you're on the web, you're moving around. You're not doing things with your friends, per se, right? You're not in these social spaces. You're not making memories. And so for us, it's really about, like, how do we sort of start bringing more connection, more embodiment, more presence into what you're doing online already?
Yep.
You know, through whether it's on 2D, right? It can totally be on 2D experiences, like things like Roblox and Fortnite, I think, are really good examples today. You know, kids are certainly playing Fortnite a ton, and you know, they do it from multiple places, right? So it's not just about VR either. You know, a lot of kids will get on Fortnite on their phones, on their iPads, on their Xboxes, on their PlayStations, on their PCs, and they go and they hang out. Yeah, sure, you can go shoot stuff and kill people and all that, but like, there's just groups. The behavior is very much about just hanging out with your friends across multiple devices in a way where you can feel present, right? More than a chat, more than text, like you're embodied. And to us, like, that's really how we're thinking about, or at least how I'm thinking about, you know, what the metaverse can be.
I like the way you said that the kids are in Roblox and Fortnite, and I thought to myself, that's maybe actually what I do with my time too. So tell me, what, obviously, you renamed the company.
Sorry.
That's good. This is what happens in the real world, Ash.
I know. I thought it was going to be a hologram. I mean, I was told I could show up as a hologram.
To be honest, we've already discussed. I could fall off stage. This would probably happen
to
me in the metaverse.
So now maybe we can get you to put the headset on. Like, now that I've broken the ice.
Yeah, I think we could go anywhere from here. So tell me a little. Obviously, you changed the name of the company to Meta.
Yeah.
What's Meta's role then in building the metaverse? Because I think sometimes it's not clear.
Yeah, look, we don't want to be synonymous, right? We're certainly not going to build it ourselves in any way whatsoever, right? It really is about, you know, building an ecosystem. And you know, if you kind of, like, I don't know, if you think about like going to a party,
yep,
right? There's all these different things that you need for like a party to be good. And in some ways, like, we're the ones who, like, we'll be your friends. Like, we'll bring your friends with you. Really, our core is about connection, about building the tools. But, you know, other people are going to show up with the drinks, and other people are going to show up with the music. And so for us, it really is about an ecosystem.
Okay.
You know, right now, we're focused on building the hardware. And we build it with our point of view, right? Which is really about how do you foster that connection and bring people together. You know, through both the virtual reality and you know, products that we're building, but you know, very much about bringing others along, right? Making sure that there's multiple worlds, right? So how do we actually connect and work with Fortnite? Like, you know, if you buy a Prada T-shirt in Horizon Worlds, which is one of our platforms, make sure you can take that with you to Roblox or to Fortnite, right? Because like, your identity is your identity, and you want to be able to move around these digital spaces with it. Bring your wallet with you, bring your friends with you. And so, you know, we're working across the industry and with lots of partners. We're certainly not gonna do it ourselves, but you know, right now we're very much focused on making sure that the right consumer behaviors happen, not in walled gardens, right? The balkanization of the metaverse would be the worst thing in the world.
Okay, so we can all get involved. So tell me a little bit about, then, you announced that name change about a year ago. What has changed and evolved then in your kind of vision for the metaverse since that moment?
Yeah, look, I think there's been a lot of different changes, right? If I look at it from a business and what businesses are doing perspective, you know, people are very focused on this. They're hiring chief metaverse officers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of focus, you know, out there on what and how VR, the metaverse, can start transforming, you know, businesses both internally and externally, right? So there's a lot of training and internal use that's happening. You know, a company like Accenture has 60,000 headsets deployed today, and they use it for internal meetups. You know, and they give every new hire one to get training. You know, companies like Burger King and others are actually like using this for training, and how do I like operate a warehouse if I'm Amazon? So there's a lot of industrial use cases that we're seeing happening, you know, as well. And, you know, if I look at sort of the progress in our developer ecosystem, you know, we have now $1.5 billion that have been spent on content in VR alone.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And so, you know, developers are making real money. You know, we started off, you start talking about when we started out, like, you know, we started our first product, which was a partnership with Samsung, where we had a Samsung phone that you could dock into a headset on the Note 4 a long time ago. I'm dating myself a bit. But we had 10 apps in the App Store. That's what we launched with. And, you know, now we have over 500 apps, you know, and services that folks are building and playing with. And, you know, we're really proud to see sort of the velocity in the developer ecosystem. You know, particularly, and you know, if people are making money and they're delivering these experiences, that means more consumers are going to buy the headsets. More consumers buy the headsets, more developers will build, and so that flywheel is really starting to spin, both on the consumer and I said on the enterprise and B2B side as well, where there's like lots of applications. And you know, look, we're seeing brands, you know, like Mini and others starting to experiment with what does it mean for a brand to have a presence. And it's early, right? It's very, very early, but there's lots of experimentation going on. You know, out there, I kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of like sort of that shift from the web to the mobile, where, you know, we all kind of figured out what web ads could look like. And then like the mobile phone came along and like the first set of ads were still like Punch the Monkey banner ads and those kinds of things, you know, in the very early days of mobile. But if you look at it now, like, you know, how organic mobile ads feel, how they take advantage of all this certain like unique underlying attributes of a phone, right? Like location and mobility and cameras and all that. We're very much at that like punch the monkey phase, if you will, you know, when we think about how we're experimenting. But, you know, like lots of brands are out there just trying and experimenting. I think that's kind of the mindset, you know, that you want.
So you mentioned the headset there and how much that's evolved. So last week you had Meta Connect. That's your big conference. And you announced the Meta Quest Pro, which I was allowed to try on, but luckily was not allowed to use in this theater for health and safety reasons. But could you tell us a little bit about the Meta Quest Pro? What's different about it? What can you do with it?
Health and safety reasons by your own volition.
Oh, 100%. Not Meta.
Just
my
saying.
Personal safety. Very clumsy.
We've got a lot of stuff around making sure you don't fall off the stage on the thing.
Ash, I could fall off the stage right now. That's how clumsy I am.
I mean, I need to be a chief metaverse officer.
I
think
so
I've already
won
up with my wet T-shirt. So,
here
we are. But no, look, we did announce, and are launching soon the Quest Pro, which is the latest evolution of, you know, of the hardware. And you know, a couple of the things to sort of that we love in the headset, the optics are amazing. So, you know, rather than getting into sort of the speeds and feeds, like some of the awesome things that you can do, the visual acuity is so much clearer now. So you don't get the eye fatigue. You know, when you're reading a screen, you can actually read a web page, you know, with as much clarity as you can, almost retina level quality, you know, as you can on a phone or on a PC, which wasn't exactly the case before. It's while it's actually heavier, slightly heavier, it actually feels much lighter because of the way that we've designed the headset and the ergonomics on it. Two other really amazing things. One is, for those who've tried a Quest, it seems like a lot of folks have, you know, when you put on the headset, the world kind of just goes dark, you're in the headset. Occasionally you'll sort of see this kind of murky grayscale thing because we've got cameras on the outside so that we can track the hands and things. With the Quest Pro and all of our future lines, we actually have these very high resolution color cameras on the outside. And so what that means is when you put on the headset, you remain present in the world. It's almost like putting on a pair of sunglasses, a little bit foggy, but still sunglasses as opposed to putting on blinders. And what that allows us to start doing is overlaying things onto the real world, right? Really on this progression to AR. And so developers are able to, you know, you can put screens up and start doing work. You can, you know, right now we have like cute little objects that you can run around, but you know, as we unlock this sort of hardware and potential, it'll be amazing to see what developers do and they build on that. And then, you know, the last thing, and I think this is sort of, again, why people ask a lot, like, why are we in hardware? We're really a software company. It really is because no one else approaches the world with the same sort of point of view around people and connection that we do. It's really at the ethos of everything we build, whether it's like bits or actual atoms, right? And so, you know, in this headset, we actually have now sensors on the inside So that when you have an avatar and you're connecting with somebody virtually, your actual expressions come through. So we can now know when you furrow, when you smile, when you wrinkle your nose. We don't have tongue tracking, so we don't know that you're sticking out your tongue. But in general, you know, what we've done up until now is really simulated those, right? Because, you know, if you're just sitting there monolithically like this, staring at you over time as an avatar, it's probably going to look really weird since you know, we aren't monolithic.
Sinister.
Yeah, I could sense it in your eyes a little bit. I can be creepy in the monolithic way. But it's really about the animations, right? So you can see your hands as you're talking, and it's really a reflection of who you are. And again, like, we're investing so much in avatars and in presence and in identity because it's core to what we do, that, you know, this type of technology is kind of what we need for this deeper connection, and over time we'll have ecosystems of folks that are building on top of it. And you know, the other really interesting things that we've been seeing and talking about as we think about the ecosystem is, you know, the top three apps now in the Quest Store are all social. Right? So we've made this sort of shift from maybe a standalone kind of console-y gaming only headset to seeing all these other use cases, you know, both in the headset for, you know, gaming, but also for social. As a matter of fact, if we have it queued, I'll show you how we use it at home.
Okay.
In a non-isolating way as
okay,
well.
Okay, yeah, cool. Play the video.
If somebody can play a video. So these are my kids. They kind of know that we're doing this. But, you know, this is Beat Saber, one of our favorite games. And, you know, I was talking about sort of that virtual game night that we do. So, you know, they're playing in the headset, but we're all hanging out watching them play. You watch the progress, right? And so this is my daughter singing. Imagine Dragons.
Who's the best in your household, by the way?
My daughter is actually, she takes it. She takes it. But, you know, so it's not just social inside the headset, right? But it's also social because you start bringing in folks when you're in the headset, and it's really about the sort of mixed modality. You know, and again, like, when we think about meetings and access and those kinds of things, like, not everyone's going to have a headset. So we want to make sure that even that those that don't have headset are able to participate in various ways.
So you mentioned there meetings. Now, one of the things you announced actually at MetaConnect were a group of partnerships based around working in the metaverse. Now, I have to be honest, I hope they won't kill me, but potentially being able to access my Teams or Slack in the metaverse as well as in real life is my personal nightmare. But tell me, why will it work?
Sounds like a problem with your team.
I think it's a problem with me. I think we've uncovered I have a lot of problems during this. So tell me about this, though.
Should I ask some questions to unpack this? No, look, I think... It's really, again, it sort of comes back to doing the types of things that you're doing today, you know, online better.
Yep.
And, you know, I can't underscore, like, how amazing the experience is of actually having a virtual meeting in a headset, right? If you think about, and we've all done this now for God knows how long, Zoom screens, 2D boxes, you're sitting there in your home, in your office, there's five or six boxes, you're kind of sitting there, you're sort of paying attention, you're not. You know, there isn't like that real connection there, right? There isn't that memory making. There isn't that sense of shared space, that shared context. Unlike right now, right? Like we'll remember this. We'll remember being in this room.
Yep.
You know, we'll remember the background. We'll remember these white chairs. There's things that like we're almost subliminally capturing when you reflect back on an event where you're there in person with folks that we've completely lost with Zoom.
Yeah.
Right? It's completely eviscerated all of that. Now, if you think about what it feels like in a headset where you're present, you're immersed, like you're in a shared space, right? You're all in the same conference room with the same thing hanging in the back, sitting at the table around from each other. The audio is spatialized, which means that like I can hear the sound from over there sounds like it's coming from over there, the sound like here, not just a mic facing me like it is on Zoom. And so the audio thing is also like a really like, you know, sort of subliminal thing that helps you form these memories and I think actually be more creative. And then as you're looking, you know, you're seeing those facial expressions and things. And so you've got this shared context, right? You're in the same place. And it's actually somebody was saying it's actually a little bit jarring the first time you look at a cartoon avatar and it's like looking you in the face and you're making that eye contact because you feel so present and so immersed.
Yep.
That when you look over, you're like, oh wow, like this, like, I'm in it, right? And so that's really, that's really the vision, around it. And so, hopefully you like your colleagues and you just don't like the technology you're using.
Now you've made it sound much better. Now I'm in there. I'm logging on straight away.
That's just like one element. We actually announced this big partnership with Microsoft.
Yep.
Where not only are you, going to have a Teams app in VR, but also you're going to start being able to use Windows in Office, inside of the headset. And so, if you think about sort of what we're building, which is a really high fidelity, high visual acuity headset, now you can have multiple screens up. You can have Excel and PowerPoint and, Outlook, on different screens. You can have a browser. And so if you think about sort of I think there's a bit more of a trend of like multiple monitors or multiple screens as we've started to work from home more. I certainly struggle to have just one screen now. I'm kind of used to that. Being able to overlay that, onto your desk, being able to use that, being able to have way more real estate is really just the beginning, right? Then you can imagine as you go further, what are actually these 3D objects and things that you can bring in there, right? So I worry that we're going to be sort of also be back, like if Punch the Monkey is sort of the advertising like analog, like as we think about things like PowerPoint and presentations, as they start becoming more 3D, more interactive, more visual, with more impact. Like I do worry a little bit about like the first versions of PowerPoint where you were doing like big fonts and blinking like lights and all those things. Obviously we've normalized now to like really great waterfall charts and like blah blah blah.
But I think you might be right that the problem is the people. It actually sounds like a really cool place to have a meeting that is much more kind of creative and interesting than it can be in 2D.
We've seen it, right? We've seen the creativity. As a matter of fact, if I think we have the other video just to show, we have some examples. Okay. And of like types of things that people are doing and able to do, in the new headset. So it's like the biggest challenge I have. And by the way, this is a room full of professional marketers. I still don't know how to convey the presence and the immersion in the headset without actually putting it on people's heads. So if anyone has ideas on how we can actually, for those who've used it, how we can convey that message, I'm all ears. But I don't know if we have that second.
Yeah, can we play the video? Here we go.
So this is a little bit of what at least this is better than me trying to voice over it, but you can kind of get this sense of, the collaboration, being able to take things on paper, draw them out, and instantly have them, in 3D, colleagues sort of all over the place, working on and trying and visualizing what things could look like, in 3D. Now here's sort of the multiple screens. 3D models that you can sit around. This is the expressive avatars, that I was sort of referring to.
Yeah, and I can see it's amazing for things like prototyping and bringing to life creative ideas.
And also you have people from 2D coming in as well, right? So it's really not just about the headset, even though this is about the headset. It's really about the experiences and the collaboration that can be created. Through this new medium, through this new tool.
Yeah, and it's very early on, but this audience is made up primarily of marketers.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about what's coming, the future, what that will look like, and it looks pretty exciting. But what about today? What should the people in this room be thinking they can do with the metaverse when they go back to their office?
Yeah, look, I think it's a couple things. One, as you think about your brand and the stories you want to tell, how do you want to tell them in a 3D environment, right? And starting to experiment with that. And I think it's a combination of the brands and sort of the loyalty that you have with your customers and what they expect, coupled with the medium, right? And so one of the examples that I love is like we did a partnership with the NBA. Leading up to the finals back in June, and we built this two room experience where you had things like Papa Shot, where you can shoot hoops, a slam dunk contest, a 3-point contest, the games playing in the background. But what really brought it to life was the NBA brand, right?
Yep.
Like otherwise you're just kind of in this like random space doing a bunch of arcade games. But when you sort of bring the fandom and the loyalty and everything that brand brings to the audience coupled with this virtual experience, that's what really made it click, right? And then the third bit was the people, right? Like,
yep.
So I went into this experience by myself, was NBA brand. I'm like, this is pretty cool. I'm like watching the games and I'm practicing my hips. But then three of my friends joined me. Yep. Right now, I'm with my friends in a virtual experience put on by the NBA, and we're doing things together, right? To me, like, you ask like what the metaverse is, it's that, right? It's that feeling of like bringing all these different things together to be able to create these experiences, you know, that otherwise wouldn't exist. So, and it's we're early, right? So it is really about thinking about what's true to your brand and how you can experiment with that. You know, I'd say even for internally, we talked a lot about this, but you know, how can you use this internally? You know, either for training or yep. onboarding, what are some, you know, some things that you have to bring a bunch of people together, you know, to do or to learn that you could maybe try to do virtually. Certainly meetings, and as I said, we use this at least an hour or two a week, you know, at work to try it out, you know, try it out for the meetings. You know, certainly you can play games on it, you know, as well. But I think it's about experimenting, right? And yep. I think it's about spending time in it and understanding the medium. It's changing a lot, right? And so the more you're in tune with it and the more you're out there, you know, trying it out and putting on the headset, I think that's probably the best advice that I can provide.
So I've got a couple of questions left before we finish up. So one thing I wanted to know is it feels like the metaverse is becoming a kind of all company sort of stakeholder place. So we saw that you can use it for work, for meetings, for creativity, for prototypes. How can marketers in this room engage with their CIO or CTO to really make sure that they can embed it into what their company's doing?
Yeah, look, I mean, one of the things that we announced also with Microsoft, like one of the biggest barriers that we've had for companies to really broad scale adopt it is sort of all the back end stuff that you need to do, like yeah. managing of the device, deploying it, right? When we go and we talk to IT administrators or CIOs, they're like, this looks cool, but like, I don't know how to like make sure I can control the device, right? They just want yeah. control and lockdown and sort of all those things that they do to our PCs and phones anyway.
And they're like, these guys can't use their email. What are my hopes here?
I know, right? So we're bringing a bunch of that technology to the headset, you know, in partnership with Microsoft and others. And so that's kind of like the table stakes thing, but yep. but it's a big deal. And you know, we have gotten very serious about sort of these sort of industrial and enterprise use cases. I think aside from that, it's again, it's like once you get it in there, it is about trying it. It is about, you know, it's not just the CIO, right? Because it's about storytelling, it's about productivity, it's about how you run your team's meetings, it's about how you express your brand, it's about how you train and onboard people. And so I think there's a multitude of use cases out there that people are building and developing, you know, that make it like a tool that you should deploy today. You know, maybe your design shop starts with it, right? Because we've got a partnership with Adobe, you know, an Autodesk where they can start doing design in there. And
yep.
So I think it'll almost be a little bit of an organic, you know, bring your own device type of a thing. And we saw that with mobile. Right, like there was a lot of, if you think about the history of enterprise IT, there was a lot of push from IT administrators on like PCs, like everybody got one. But then mobile grew so fast that people were like, no, I'm going to, like, I have this thing, like I want to use Outlook on it. I'm going to do it whether you let me or not, and so you better figure out how to do it. It's going to make me more productive. And so I think some of the things that we've seen are really innovators just working on it, trying it. Maybe their kids have it. They try it on. They're like, oh, this would be really cool to do XYZ. And then they start bringing it in. So I think it can kind of go from both directions.
So last couple of minutes, your final thoughts. What are you excited about the future of this space? What's next?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited about what people can do and what they can build with it, right? Ultimately, we're building a platform for all of you and for developers out there to create. We want to build the technology, provide the nuts and bolts and the tools, but the amount of innovation that we're seeing, you know, on the headset, the amount of innovation we're seeing in the ecosystem, you know, as I said, like developers are making tons and tons of money and having lots of success, and enterprises are using it and people are using it for fitness. And so I'm just really excited to see what everyone builds next based on what we're trying to provide and, you know, how we can actually bring people together and connect in far more.
Perfect. Well, look, Ash and I have made a lot of jokes today about our space in reality, but I think the future of the metaverse looks pretty exciting. I think what's really interesting, some of the themes you touched on about being part of a bigger ecosystem that we're all building together. And in fact, that was the theme as well about work and life and it all blending together to be able to do not just meetings, but creativity, prototypes, presentations. And I think really the possibilities are endless. So I'm really excited to see where it goes next, and hopefully I'll see you there. Anytime. In a better version than in reality.
I don't know about that.
Upgrade 2.0.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ash.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to visit www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.